Hello, Bonsai friends. This is Evan Pardue of Underhill Bonsai, and this is the first episode of what I'm calling Second Flush. So this is a purely bonus content type episode. I'm not going to be doing anything like shouting out a bunch of patron names or going through and thanking sponsors. I want to keep these bonus episodes a little bit more mindful, a little bit more grounded, I guess you can say, so that I can kind of just reflect and talk about topics that are just on my mind and things that I think about as I'm working on my trees, working at the nursery, going through everyday life, raising my son, being with my wife, and just kind of making bonsai part of my lifestyle and part of what I do. So on this episode of Second Flush, I'm going to talk about the why of bonsai, I guess you can say, kind of how that came about in my mind, and also why I'm calling this Second Flush. For those who are familiar with bonsai work and you get into a little bit more advanced thoughts of how trees grow and how we work them as bonsai, I liked the idea of calling it Second Flush because you get the first flush of the season, usually in the growing season, depending on what part of the world you're in. Everyone's spring is a different time of year, of course. And so that first flush comes out and you get to either let it run and wire it out or trim it back or pinch off growth. And then what happens after that is you get a second flush of growth that in turn gives you the opportunity to go in and continue the work for the year. And it gives you something to what I'm kind of using as more as a metaphor of a reflection. So you get to observe, I guess, the recoil of what you've done. So this is just good practice for me to put good thoughts and some insight from, you know, introspective kind of thoughts from myself out into the world. If anybody wants to hear it, here it is. If not, then you can continue on with your regular programming and go to the next episode. I think it's good for us to step back and really think about our practice in bonsai every once in a while. We get really caught up in the weeds, pun intended there, to go and do things like get really wrapped up in a project with a tree and get really worried about what kind of pot it's going to be in one day, you know, what kind of soil we're going to put it in, what style, what branches we're growing, the sacrifice branches that we're going to need to grow out to thicken things up, or root grafting, or any thread grafting, approach grafting, scion grafting, etc. Just all the stuff, all these really, you know, high-end kind of feeling techniques for high-end trees, when we have to boil this down to my target audience has always been people who are either going to be what Aaron Packard said on a previous episode a while back. I really appreciated him saying this, is either we're going to create bonsai enthusiasts, or we're going to find that line where we can get bonsai appreciators, or people who admirers, people who want to just look at bonsai and they want to train their eye to instead view bonsai in a practical, in a meaningful way, that when they study a tree, they're not just going to look at it and say, that's a cool bonsai, but why is it good? So this brings me to my next thought, which is what kind of inspired this whole second flush reflection type episode thing that I'm doing here, and I will intend on doing more, is the why. And so I've had a handful of people come to my yard and see my personal trees, and we'll talk and hang out. And some people go in there and they accept it for what it is. They're like, oh, this is just a bunch of plants back here that I'm not really sure what these are, but I mean, they look cool. And then sometimes I get people that go back there and they're completely fascinated and they want to ask me all the questions and all the, you know, all the technical things, like how did I get in this tiny pot? Why is the wire on there? How often do you water them? Why did you do this to that branch? Why does this tree look like it's half dead right here? Just stuff like that. The fascination and all that, the enthusiasm is really cool. And I really do enjoy talking to people about bonsai. That's why I'm doing this right now. I mean, for obvious reasons that I started this podcast show, and me and Carmen and Mike have made so many episodes, is because we really do enjoy talking about bonsai. But there was one conversation I had with somebody a while back. I'm just going to leave them anonymous because they were just a random person in passing that just visited my house one day. It was an acquaintance of somebody. And he came back there and was just like looking around at the trees and stuff. And I didn't get the question that are one of the varied questions that I always get, like how I would normally expect it, which is, you know, either they would say, oh, this is cool, or it would be the alternative where they were like, oh, how did you do that? Instead, he simply asked, why bonsai? And he just looked at me really flatly. And I was like, oh, he's trying to challenge this like on a intellectual, and I'm stumbling on that word, but that's just what I do. But yeah, he's challenging me on the thought of it. He's like, okay, so you obviously are into this, but why? And so every once in a while, and I'm not going to say that question shook me, but it was a very interesting take on it, because I mean, honestly, this person could care less about the trees. I mean, maybe they were neat to him. Maybe he was just kind of like, okay, whatever, kind of. Or he just, like I said, like he accepted it and was for what it was, and then we moved on. But there was no other questions. It was just why. And that is a question I ask myself every once in a while when I'm pouring through multiple trees at the nursery and I've been repotting young trees or older trees that are ready for their first repots into a finer bonsai container or something like that. And I'm out there, I sit down after busting my ass going through all these plants, potting them up. And I'm just like, exactly what I just said really is like, these are just plants. Like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I pursuing this? Why have I told people when they ask me about what I do for a living, how long do you intend on doing this? How long will you have these trees? Why are you doing this? And it breaks that down to a really simple question of, you know, why is this worth it? And why do I want to say that the trees that I have in my own collection, my own private collection that I keep in my home, I tell myself I'm going to keep all these trees hopefully till the last day of my life. And then whatever happens from there, obviously. And so, I mean, I have to reflect on that every once in a while when I'm sitting in my own garden after doing all that work or pouring through trees at the nursery, because it's a different environment at the nursery versus at my home. In my home, I can actually work on the technical aspects of my trees and then ask myself the same question, because that takes just as much effort, a little bit more brain power and less brute force to do all those things. But I think a big part of it for me, and for on that day, I just didn't have a really good clean answer, but I've had plenty of time to go through and just kind of toss it back and forth in my mind and say, maybe I do it because of nostalgia. I used to tell myself back in the day, when I was younger and I was kind of getting into it, and keep in mind, I've been doing bonsai for probably, I'm approaching my 15-year mark of, you know, dabbling, practicing, and then becoming where I am now as a bonsai nurseryman. So I've been in this in over a decade now. And so when I started out doing it, I was like, maybe I'm trying to create trees that when I was younger and I was walking through the woods, I saw an old twisted tree that I would come across every once in a while, and it would spark my imagination. And that was a fun thought to have, because I get to visit that tree whenever I want, as many times as I want. And if it's a bonsai tree that I've created to resemble that, then not only I'm visiting it every day, I have to visit it every day. And so then it becomes less of a, that becomes less of the reason. And my thought process has evolved since I initially made that assumption about why I do it. And I think, and now it's coming further along, and I've met a lot of people who collect trees, and I started learning about what we call, I'm trying to stay as low profile and less, and you know, and it's not as controversial on bonsai topic stuff like that as possibly came in this. But when we collect Yamadori is what we're calling it, when I believe it should just be called collected trees at this point. Like collected trees from people's yards or from the swamp from where I'm at. Remember me and Bill Butler had this conversation about Numidori and how that means swamp collected. But irregardless, when we go and pull trees out of the ground, I learned that that should be done with the most highest regard for the tree's health, the best intention, the what's best for the tree, what's best for the environment that we're pulling it out of. And then when we bring it back to our yard, it is our responsibility to care for that tree. And so I've talked to a couple of other professionals and other nurserymen about collecting trees and taking on trees. And then we become bonsai stewards. And I love the stewardship of bonsai now. And I don't know if it's the complete answer to the why bonsai question, but the process of taking a tree that is older and has been worked for several years and maybe decades if we're lucky to see those trees, and be the person who is responsible for that tree's health, for that tree's representation, that tree's stylings, anything that needs it, that it needs winter storage, summer care, and you know, every once in a while maybe changing its shoes, changing its pot to something new, modern, or it needs for health reasons back into a bigger pot for grow out reasons. There's a lot of different things that we have to consider. And so we go from, I created this tree that I wanted to remind me of imagination and memories, to now I have to take care of this and I have to maintain this. I have to maintain it at the top of my experience and the top of my skill level to make sure this tree keeps at the top of its health. Everything has to line up. We can't just throw a tree in our backyard on a bench and water it every day and say, this is what we're doing now. We have to go through and we always have to advance. I got an advanced copy of Jonas Dupuis' The Essential Bonsai Book, Techniques for Creating Beautiful Trees. And I was flipping through it the night before, and it just reminds me of the way that we approach trees. We should always be challenging ourselves to improve our skills, but also improving the tree at the same time. And Jonas wrote the book with great intention to say that once the people get past the bonsai practitioner stage, once you learn how to keep the tree alive, you know how to water it, you know how to fertilize it, you know when to trim, you know when to repot, you know to check for any pests and diseases. Once you get the horticultural part down, then this is the book that moves you on to the next part. And that is the part of the puzzle for creating beautiful trees, in which he's talking about in the title there. And I think that is part of it, is the why to me now is being a steward to old bonsai trees, bringing them to the next level, and knowing that I'm doing my best for the tree's best interest is really, really, I think, is going to be moving forward what my thoughts are. And then, of course, we have to dig a little bit deeper into the why. Is one of the other things I took away from the opening passage of the book that hit really hard last night. I wanted to highlight it and just say it from Jonas's new book was when you set your goals for what you're going to do, that you want to obtain and have a collection of trees that you're going to be capable to keep at that level. You never want to overshoot, because some people will hit into bonsai hot and heavy and they'll get 20 trees. Next thing you know, they got 50. Then I got 100 plants. And then they stop being pre-bonsai. They stop being projects. They become a burden of a bunch of trees that they're not like, or they're not even bonsai. They're just plants that they're like, that was cool, and I spent $50 here, I spent $100 here. And it's very hard to put a price on these things because, or like more like a value on plants like that, because you need them, they're essential for your bonsai journey and to learn. But at the same time, if we get too many of those projects and we get too caught up in what we're trying to accomplish for our own interests and for our own dream collection, I only got to the point where I could stand in front of my trees in my backyard recently and say, my dream collection starts right here. And I narrowed myself down to, believe it or not, I narrowed myself down to right at like 30 trees. I had 50. I started weeding out ones that were not necessary, that weren't one of the home networks where it's like, does this bring you joy? It wasn't bringing me joy. And also, I had to evaluate the trunks in the nabari, the surface roots. I had to evaluate the branching and the scarring and any visible scars or deadwood on all of my trees and say, will this tree be what I want it to be 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years, and so on beyond me? Will it last? Will this be a lasting bonsai? Can I give this to someone? Can I donate it to somewhere? Can I give it to the next generation? That's the why, is stewarding, making beautiful trees, maintaining beautiful trees, doing what's in the best interest for those trees and moving them forward so that one day those trees will move forward. And I hope, bonsai friends, that this helps you answer your own question as to why am I getting into bonsai. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me, and I will talk to you guys on the next episode. Y'all have a great day.